Good Sunday morning and welcome to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church. We're right next to Enos Park in Springfield, Illinois. That was Helen Ely on the organ playing a prelude titled Cantilena. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, today we open our hearts and our minds and our souls to worship you and to be led by your Spirit as we learn from your text about how we might be called to serve. Give us a moment now to clear all else and to be open to hear your words and to act upon your call. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our praise team leads us in a song by Sidewalk Prophets called Come to the Table. Please be blessed.
We all started on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Meet this motley crew of misfits, these liars and these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here. So that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come to the table. To the thief and to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the pardoned and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all the dreams and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost you have been found, all who labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song. Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come to the table. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table.
We now turn to the book of Acts for this very powerful story of the conversion and commitment of one of the early followers in the church. Please listen to the words of God from Acts 16, verses 11 through 15. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. May God bless the reading of these words for us this day. Amen. Johann Pachelbel wrote a canon to be played by three violins all the way back in 1680. That music has become associated often with weddings, but the melody has been worked into other arrangements as well. Today, our choir brings us an arrangement of Amazing Grace interwoven with this canon. Please enjoy. Please pray with me. Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which is upon all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. There was once a Peanuts cartoon strip where Charlie Brown in the first panel says, "I went to a new school today and signed up for folk guitar, computer programming, stained glass art, shoemaking, and a natural foods workshop." In the second panel, he says, "But when I got my schedule, at the end, I had a class in math, English, world history, and two study halls." In the third panel, a friend asks, "So what did you learn from this?" And in the last panel, Charlie Brown says, "What you sign up for and what you get are two different things." Well, welcome to life, Charlie Brown. How many of us have suddenly had our plans changed. Maybe something was not available. Maybe someone got sick and could not do something. Maybe the something happened beyond your control and the plans had to be changed. A few weeks ago, my wife was going to join her children in Texas to be with their grandmother, who is 92. They had all flown down earlier, but because of my wife's schedule, she could not leave until early Friday morning. She arrived at the airport in plenty of time, parked the car. She only had her carry-on bag. She got checked in and went through security and arrived at the gate with lots of time to spare. The plane was already there. When it was about time to board, the announcer came on and said there would be a slight delay because they had to replace a part on the plane. About a half hour later, the announcer came back on and said, well, they thought they had the part in St. Louis, but they did not. So now they're trying to locate the part someplace else, and they'll get it brought in as soon as possible. Unfortunately, all the other flights to Love Field in Texas were all booked, and so they could not move anyone to another flight. It got to be the afternoon. Good news, they found the part in Colorado, and so they were going to fly it into St. Louis. Now, as a result of some weather issues, the plane was delayed in Colorado, and it was now well past 6 o'clock, and the plane had not yet arrived. Eventually, they gave a solid time of departure for 9 p.m. That would have meant that my wife would have gotten into Love Field at 11, and from there she would have had to have driven to Waco another 2 hours. At that point, Jackie had enough. Fortunately, Southwest was willing to cancel her ticket and give her all her miles back, and she just went home. Of course, always in the back of your mind is the concern that when you're up at 30,000 feet in the air, what if they discover that the problem was not the part they replaced, but some other part? Not always do things happen in our life the way we plan for them. And sometimes, too, things change in our lives because God is changing our plans. Pastor David Watson had a huge ministry in Springfield, Missouri. Not only did the church have several services, but they had quite a television ministry. One day he was traveling between meetings when he passed a local hospital, and he said he had an uncontrollable urge to stop by the hospital because someone needed his prayers. His schedule was packed, but he couldn't pass up the hospital without stopping. As he went into the front desk, he simply asked if anyone in the hospital had been asking for a pastor to come by and pray. The receptionist said, well, yes, actually. One of our patients in hospice had just seen a worship service on TV led by this Pastor Watson, and she called down to say, you know, if he ever comes by this hospital, I'd like to meet him. The receptionist was not aware that she was talking to Pastor Watson. The pastor went to the woman's room. She met him, she accepted Christ, and this was one of those situations where God interrupted his day and changed his plans in order to bring salvation to one of God's children. In our scripture for today, Paul shares the story of what happens one day in the region of Philippi and in the city of Thyatira. It was the Sabbath, and often people went down to the river to pray, so Paul and his entourage goes to a common spot of prayer, and there he sees some of these women. They were believers in God, and they were praying. One of the women is identified by the name of Lydia. Now, we're told she was a dealer in purple cloth. Just from that, we know a lot about Lydia. You see, purple in those days was a much sought-after color. It was, after all, the color of royalty. The color had to be extracted from the veins of a certain shellfish, drop by drop. It was white when it first came out, but once exposed to the sun, it turned into a deep purple and could be used for making very beautiful and expensive purple cloth. We learn Lydia was a businesswoman, and perhaps a very successful one. It also mentions that she was the head of her household, which scholars believe was an indication that she was perhaps a widow. Lydia listens to Paul's message about Jesus, and according to the text, God opened her heart. She accepted Jesus, and not only that, she wanted her whole family to be saved and for Paul to stay at her house. Obviously, her plans changed from that short trip to the river to pray to, for God was transforming her life and causing her to become a follower of Jesus. Things in her life would never be the same. Shortly after the conversion story, Paul and Silas get into trouble with the crowds and they're thrown into jail. But in the midst of that, an earthquake happens, the prison doors are thrown open, and they leave. And where do they head? They head back to Lydia's house, where others have now gathered, and they were able to talk to them about Jesus. Scholars believe that in the tradition of how Paul operated, he formed a house church at Lydia's house, and her life would never be the same. Her life would be devoted to serving others. Dr. Albert Day wrote a booklet titled Letters on the Healing Ministry, where he suggests most of us suffer from what he calls the poverty of expectation. In other words, we never think much about what God could do in our lives, but rather we look to see what God is doing in everyone else's life. We believe God will use someone much smarter, maybe more spiritual, maybe a better speaker, or maybe someone more compassionate. We never think that God will use us, but God does use everyone, including everyone else. Dr. Day concludes, our weakness is not that we expect too much from God, but we trust God too little. I'm not sure Lydia knew exactly what she signed up for. I'm sure that she had a very successful life in purple and would have been a well-respected business leader. But she accepted Jesus, and God immediately used her to further the kingdom there in her city and in her region. The important thing is that she trusted God completely so God could continue to use her. Sometimes when the plans in life change, perhaps it is because it's a God thing, and we need to be willing to trust God completely. At the age of 35, my life was going through some changes. I was single again and feeling like I was not doing everything God wanted me to do. The pastor of the church where I was attending suggested that I enroll in the commissioned pastor program of our presbytery. It would be a year study, but when I was done, I could work part-time at one of our small churches as a pastor. I enrolled in the program. I finished and was called to a church where I had served previously as a youth director. My plans were to keep running my business and do this pastor gig on the side and part-time. But God had other plans. I was so thrilled with the academics of the program, and I so realized that my soul thirsted to be in the full-time ministry that a year after being commissioned, I gave up everything else and went to seminary. It was a tough 3 years, but I truly believe this is what God was calling me to do, and is what, even though I was not sure of what I signed up for, it was what God would call upon me to do. And that's exactly what God did. Not only that, but I was open to God taking me into a further program of academics, so I would 4 years later complete my Doctor of Ministry degree. And you know, along the way, I was willing to follow where God was leading me. I've often told this story. You know, I was single again and not going to go that marriage route. But then I walked into seminary the first day and saw this Southern woman with a gorgeous smile and a Southern drawl, and I was like melted butter. God brought us together, and we've been together now, pastors together in ministry, for over 18 years. It's not what I planned for, but it's what I was open to for the will of God to perform in my life. I guess this morning, the question is, are you open for God to use you? I have no idea how that will happen and what shape that will take in your life. What I do know is that God will use us if we're open to what God has for us. If we're willing to be open that what we signed up for may not always be exactly how things go. But we will know this: however things go, it will be because we are following the will of God. Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians 5 that God is about the business of reconciling the world. And God is doing this not because of the sin of the people, but rather God is using people to be his servants to bring about this reconciliation. If you're open and not afraid of what you signed up for, God will use you, sinner as you are, just as much as the sinner I was, to bring about the message of salvation for the reconciliation of the world. Please join me on this journey. Amen and amen. Grace Ann Prince is a music major and one of our college students who has returned for the summer, and she leads our praise team in a Lauren Daigle song titled, You Say. Please be blessed. You're listening to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. We are so blessed to be able to bring you this each week. We also invite anyone to join us for our regular in-person worship each Sunday in our sanctuary at 1030 North 7th Street. Worship begins at 10 a.m. It lasts for about an hour. Our service is casual, open to all, full of energy, and open to the work of the Holy Spirit. Please join us. I invite you to join me now in our morning prayer. God of surprises and unexpected callings, we know that sometimes our faith is weak and we come up with what we expect instead of trusting in you completely. We know that often things change in life, and sometimes that change comes about because of your will for us. Help us to remain open to your calling. Remind us to expect from you the unexpected, to be open to how you may change things and take us to places where we're not certain of being at all, but give us faith and trust in you. Use each one of us as your servants to further the kingdom of God and speak to us in a variety of ways as you challenge us to be faithful to however and wherever you call us to go. Now, Lord, bless each listener this day and guide the work we do at TPC, that we may reach out to those who are in need to hear your word, just as Lydia did so long ago. And God opened their hearts that they might receive and know Jesus. We pray that God will open hearts in our midst, that they might be open to receive Jesus. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. We send you out today with a song titled Seek Ye First. The song was written by Karen Lafferty and is based on Matthew 6:33. She wrote this after being inspired from a church Bible study at the Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California, all the way back in 1971. At that time, as a music major, she was serving as the worship leader and concert artist. Please join the TPC congregation as we sing Seek Ye First. May the God of the unexpected take you on a journey so that you may be a faithful follower and a servant of the Most High. May God bless you this day and all days in the kingdom that is now and the kingdom that is to come. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this day. A big thanks to Helen Ely, our organist, to Jeff Prince, our music director, who also led the TPC praise team and the TPC choir, to Seth Hood, our AV coordinator, and to Matt Miller, who does all our post-production. We will see you soon, either at our regular worship, or we will be together next week on the radio. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, wishing you a blessed week and reminding you to please stay safe out there.